Amen.
Once again, you are welcome in the name of Jesus. This is a critical moment in the history of our nation. And it's also a critical moment in the life of the body of Christ in this land. The same way there is agitation, there is a desire for actualization in the nation. There is also agitation in the spirit. Such agitation that is designed to propel us beyond the theatrics of modern day ministry and preaching into the very crucible of the activity of God. We are trusting the Lord tonight to send us help quickly. Join me as I salute my elder brother, my comrade in the struggle. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to be around spiritual men. There's profit that we can draw from it. And so, Lord, we thank you again for your grace that has released us into possibilities beyond our human capacity. We celebrate your mercy over our lives. And today we turn our faces to the hills from whence cometh our help. Send us help. Send us refreshing from above and take all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bible quickly. Let us begin from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as we look upon the seven commandments of church life. Before we go into the gift of the discernment of spirit, we will stop by discernment first and foremost. So we have seven commandments of church life captured in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning from verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. The first commandment of church life is rejoice evermore. We are going to expound just on one of those commandments. Rejoice evermore is the first commandment of church life. The second commandment of church life is in the next verse. What's the commandment there? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So, just in case you want to find the commandment template of the New Testament, it says, don't allow anything to tamper with your joy. As long as your joy is in place, it will be impossible for Satan to bend your mind. Satan is in the business of mind bending. And he would not be able to succeed on your life as long as your joy is intact. Joy is an evidence of the fact that you are situated in the accurate habitat that God had ordained for man. The habitat for man is the presence of God. And any time your spirit man comes in contact with a cloud of God's presence, the natural reaction is joy. It's like a burglary that protects you from mind bending. So the first instruction he gives is what? Rejoice evermore. I don't have time to dwell on that, but when I walked into this place, I found out that many of us are victims of mind bending already. I could see the way you were flowing with the music. You were absent-minded. Your heart was somewhere else, where Satan wanted your heart to be. And then suddenly God stirred up Sister Bumi. Even though her time had elapsed, the time on the schedule for praise and worship had elapsed, and Opore wanted to, and I said, no, we just got there now. There's a therapeutic dimension of God's work that is taking place to bring us to the point of what? Rejoice evermore. I don't want to stress that so much, but it's something we ought to stress at the proper time. Then the next commandment he gives us is what? Pray without ceasing. And the reason for that commandment is that in ourselves we are insufficient. By ourselves we are incompetent. And without God, we are nothing. And the way God administers grace, He doesn't give you grace in a lump sum. He gives you grace sufficient for the day, sufficient for the moment. And you will need to be in a state of understanding of the predicament of inadequacy for you to pray perpetually in order for you to be a candidate of the grace of God. A man that prays always has accepted the fact that he is insufficient. It's a proof of an understanding of his insufficiency. The man that prays always is a man that is humble. The proof of your humility is that you know that the resources that are designed to bring you to the point of being able are not with you. So your humility in prayer creates a potential difference that can orchestrate a flow from God to a flow to you. You need to see how I was on the bed praying hours ago for grace to talk to you. Now, you will not do that if you feel sufficient in yourself. One of the signs of humility is prayer. When you find a man that cannot but pray, that cannot but seek help, that cannot but connect with God, such a man has been brewed with an understanding of his insufficiency. May the revelation of your insufficiency stand face to face in your heart perpetually in the name of Jesus. Next commandment that he gives is critical. And you know, I said these are the commandments of church life. Next commandment is the next verse. He said, in everything give honor. And while I was in the prayer, I turned and looked at the phone, which is perpetually on silence. And it was my elder brother. And he called again. Our firstborn. So I stepped out. Said, I'm in prayer. What's going on? He said, my brother has been kidnapped. Hallelujah. And the story deteriorated until I lost my brother. You know, it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving when there is no reason for you to thank God, but you are just thanking Him because He commanded it. You see, in everything, the best response for any situation is thanksgiving. The moment you switch on thanksgiving, it will be difficult for Satan to exploit that situation. I've seen so many people that reached their elastic limit and they veered off from the Lord. You will not have any elastic limit if you are saturated with a culture of thanksgiving. It says in everything, that good things give thanks, bad things give thanks. I hope you know, in order for you to make soup, you mix sweet things with bitter things. Is that true? Have you tasted Maggi before? Maggi? It's not on the sweet side. But you mix sweet things with bitter things, then you have tasty ogbono soup. Now, you will not mature if all you see are good. Alright? So God is saying, ultimately, what I'm trying to produce is tasty or bono. So So even though we are mixing, allowing bitter things to come in, allowing sweet things to come in, it is not about the sweet or bitter, it's about the maturity that it will produce. So, and in final analysis, it will be in your interest, in the interest of God, in the interest of His kingdom, for you to have gone through all those things. So even if you don't understand, the way of faith requires that you do what? Give thanks. Please help me preach to your neighbor, you need to give thanks. I know most of us, for this day that started long time ago till this time, you have not found, you have not captured any moment where you say, thank you. I know you have not. Because it's easy for you not to follow this routine. You do it religiously until it becomes part of your life. That's what he's saying. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Alright, next commandment, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, if we are saying quench, it means that dimension of the Spirit of God that burns like a flame. You see, hallelujah. There are dimensions of the Spirit that are gentle. There are dimensions of the Spirit that are quiet. There are dimensions of God's communication through His Holy Ghost that is captured in stillness and in smallness. There are also dimensions of God that are volcanic. They are eruptive. And it is possible for you to quench them. I remember when I started doing long fasts the first time, and then we'll fast for so many days, fast for 20 days, for 40 days, and when you're done with the fast, someone will just make you angry, and when you yield to the anger, everything you gathered for 40 days, it escapes. Have you been there before? You just yield to the flesh, and everything you accumulated. So I now discovered that it was a pattern, that Satan will be waiting for me to fast. Oh, okay, it's fasting. Then he comes and stares up the environment. So I now decided that I will not be offended. And those are decisions that you make when you want to keep the Spirit raging, the Spirit burning. I remember in youth service, I was teaching in a fellowship in Kano, and during the course of the education, the Holy Spirit came and a lady was captured by the fire of the Spirit of God. In fact, the daughter of our pastor was captured. There are some details, but she was captured. And then when we did that deliverance for so long, and then the post-deliverance counseling, and I asked her, when you were on the floor and making this kind of statement, what was propelling it? So I think she wanted to be frank. And she told me that there are witches. She's a witch. There are plenty of them. If you don't even know the number of witches in this, you are a witch. She said, yes, I'm a witch. And we have come to destroy you before. I was sent, me and one lady. And when we came to your house, said, do you know my house? She described it. I said, oh my God. Yeah, we came there. I came in the company of another lady, and when we came to the place, we wanted to strike, but we couldn't come close because you were sleeping in fire. Now the Bible says, what? Quench. Let me stop there. That your protective fire, do not quench it. Please help me tell your neighbor, Satan will want you to be unwise as to quench your protective fire. But the commandment says, quench not the Spirit. All right, the next commandment. Despise not prophesying. Oh my God. And it came to pass when we were on campus that we decided to pray from 12 midnight to 1 a.m. every single day. So it was a group of a few people from different fellowships who just had a burden to pray. So we'll read, and when it's 12 midnight, we'll stop reading. We'll go and fulfill that obligation before we come back to our books. And one of those days we came for prayers, and the hand of God descended upon a lady, and she began to prophesy. In fact, the whole 1 hour prayer time was prophecy. And she turned on every single person that attended prayer that night and gave a prophetic word. All of their own words were positive. My own was negative. And what was this word? That I was going to be a preacher. And that Satan has released a lady that will implement an initiative. But if I survive that lady, my voice will reach the ends of the earth. And I forgot the prophecy. May you not. He said. And it came to pass when I was posted to Lagos in public service, that this lady appeared. It was after the victory over that lady. And the victory was a slim victory. It was not. You know, when you. Someone wins a match on penalty kicks. That's it was a slim win. And then the memory of the prophecy came back. Please help me preach. Despise not prophesize. This is what commandment is this? Number what? Five. Okay, the next commandment. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. This is where I'm coming. The sixth commandment. The word prove in this particular scripture, just in case you have a Bible that is supported by a lexicon, you will find the word dokimazo. That's the word for prove, and that's the same word for discern. So part of the commandments of church life is that discern all things. And this discernment is not within the context of the gift of discernment of spirit. This is a commandment to perpetually walk in discernment as regards all things. It is after that you have discerned that you make a choice to align with that which is good. Are you there with me? Prove all things, discern all things, and after you have so done, hold fast to that which is good. It means that you can actually decide if you are guided. You can decide to profit from discernment. Because if I hold fast to that which is good, that which has been proven to be from God, I hold fast to it. The implication is that the purpose that God had for bringing that thing or that person into my life will begin to find expression. And just in case you refuse to discern, what you are going to hold fast on has the potential to begin to implement the devil's wisdom, the devil's intention around your life. Hallelujah. You know, we went to London, I and my friend reported, and met a guy. And I didn't just have peace in my spirit about the guy. But I told him that this is my own personal impression. It has nothing to do with your own spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit in me, restraining me. And the Holy Spirit in me may restrain me, and the Holy Spirit in you may not restrain you. It means that whereas this guy can be your pally, he cannot be mine. Do you understand that? The fact that I have that impression and the fact that I'm a senior pastor doesn't mean that I will restrain you. No, we have left that, we have matured to that level where we do not apply generally in church life the things that God has impressed upon our hearts. I might have an encounter, and based on the encounter, the Holy Spirit may tell me not to put on jeans anymore. I have the way I relate with him. Are you following? He may say that I shouldn't put on jeans, but it doesn't make it something that is a doctrine in church life. Do you understand that? So I don't impose my own personal encounters on people. I told him, I said, well, the reason why I'm not going in is because I have an impression not to do so. Because the Bible says that we should what? We should prove all things. We should discern all things. We should test all things. Then our choice of deciding to hold fast should be on the basis of the outcome of that test. So before we go into the gift of discernment of spirit, there's a culture of discernment that is supposed to be rooted in the house of God. And I want to talk about that culture first and foremost before we now go into the gift. If we understand the culture of discernment that is supposed to be the fulfillment of this commandment, then it will be easy for us to understand the gift of discerning of spirits. May the Lord help us in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you got it to that point. Meanwhile, the seventh commandment, just in case you are not aware, is abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm not going to comment on that today. We need a whole night to talk about this. Because evil does not just follow you. Evil doesn't just alight on you. There was a deception that took place that made you allow evil to walk all the way from the door, and it came and it moved, and you were not that made it embrace you eventually. So he said, may the Lord give you understanding. Yeah. Alright, so those are the seven commandments of church life, okay? But we will want to stand on verse number 21, which enjoins us to prove all things. Alright, so in proving all things, there are a few things we need to take note of. One, you must understand the source of the thing. The source of the thing. We have not gone to the gift of discernment yet, but we want to fulfill the commandment to discern. So if you want to fulfill the commandment to discern, you must probe source. Someone wants to come into your life, you know, wants to begin a relationship in your life and all of that stuff. Okay? Under what circumstances did you meet the person? Maybe you were in a fix and the person came to save the day, and then it looks like there's something positive. That's weak. Our probe must go beyond face value. Our probe must go beyond appearances. Our probe must go to source. And when you find in scripture, particularly, don't forget that my scripture, John chapter 8 verse 44, is a golden scripture for this matter. In John chapter 8, verse 44, these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." What he is probing here is source. So Jesus is not looking at appearances, at manifestations, at performance. Jesus is looking at source. You derive from the devil. Ye originate from the devil. And because you originate from the devil, the lust of your father you will do. You are not capable of operating differently from the devil because your source is the devil. Now, so that Mr. Goodman that came to liberate you as a young damsel in a terrible situation, maybe your tire went flat and you just didn't know how to go about it because you drive a Jeep and you were not taught how to change tires. And then one guy shows up, rolls his sleeves, gets dirty, effects the change. And he says, "Hello, hello." Now, you are, don't yield. Don't yield. We don't judge by appearances. The Bible says, "Henceforth, know we no man after that flesh." Every judgment that is after the flesh is too weak. It doesn't have sufficient depth that should occasion a decision. He said, after you have finished your work of discerning, that's when you can hold fast to that which is good. So, are you with me? We had a home sale those days when I was in Abuja. And there was this woman in the home cell that would visit. She has like 20, 24 pastors that she visits because she believes that one anointing can help her. So she has this person's number, has that person's number, has this one. And then, you know, and she likes moving around with her daughter. She believes that something is on her daughter that they need to deal with and all of that. So she now came somewhere. So the man decided, asked her, instructed her to step out so that he can interview the lady. So she now noticed that he was taking too much time. So she met the pastor in a compromised, exceptionally compromised position. Now, the reason why at first contact the pastor operated like that is because, you see, Jesus said, because of your source, the lust of your father you will do. That means the options of what you are capable of are not many. The moment we hit the source, we cannot interpret your operation. The moment we touch the source, we can now understand, okay, this is why you, if you don't have knowledge of the source, any form of analysis you draw out of a particular situation will not be accurate. So the first thing that Jesus hits is the source. What is the source of this anointing? What is the source of the miracles? Because the fact that there are miracles doesn't mean that it is God. What is the source of this influence? What is the source of this visibility? You know, these days, these are the days of Facebook, the days of likes, the days of shares. We no longer talk source. We ask, how many likes were there? How many followership? How much? What's the quantity of his followership? How many times were his content shared? What is the coverage? What is the reach? What is the extent? And we say, wow, he's a visible man. But he's visible on Facebook. If you are going to probe him, you need to probe him beyond what he wants you to see. Because the reality of who he is, he doesn't want you to see it definitely. So he has a brilliant way of putting up a show. And if you are going to discern, you must travel beyond that which is on display and find out that which is hidden. And so Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Then he gave insight into the workings of the devil as a means of explaining the activities of this guy. Source is important. My elder sister and her husband, because of I think that's 19. I don't want to be a political man, but somewhere along the line in a certain political dispensation, my in-law found favor. So he was in a certain government apartment, and the occupant of that apartment is entitled to internet facility. I'm talking about 90s in the house, right? He was also entitled to a phone line that the government picked the bills. He was also entitled to a cook. Hallelujah. So we came into the premises. Everywhere was looking white. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. So the cook was given an apartment. Alright? So the cook, and then she cooks food. And I came down from the fasting mountain in Kano. And I stumbled in one weekend on Friday night, full of flames, full of fire. And this cook saw me, and the moment she saw me, she packed and left the next day. He said, prove all things. She was about to administer some of the specialties of the devil in that household. You know, I told you, if once you know source, then anything that is connected, the nature of that source expects its manifestation. She was about to manifest the dynamics of the devil on my relatives because they could not discern what she was carrying, the spirit that she was working with. She packed out, and I'm telling you, this is a true testimony. True testimony. She left that environment next day. Then my sister came to me. Obviously, it's her husband that sent her. How did you know? Did I really know? It was the energy of prayer from the mountain that solved that problem. But you see, anything it will take you to go beyond face value, if it's prayer, if it's fasting, the Bible commands that we should prove all things. Are you with me? Right, so that's the source test. The next test is what we call the laws test. What laws are operational in that thing? So we can know the nature of the thing by what? Knowing the source. We can know the nature of the thing by knowing the laws that operate within that environment. Now, I don't know how to say it, but okay, let me just reduce it to Bible study. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. God is omnipotent. I know that is not in doubt in this congregation. But one of the things that God has done in his omnipotence is that he has bestowed bestowed some of his authority. He has bestowed some of his power in laws and principles. So, you might think, are you there with me? You might think that what you are just obeying are laws. You don't know that the laws have foundations. You might think that because the next point in discernment are principles, the source of the principles, alright? So, but I want to combine laws and principles together so that I can trash it out because it follows the same concept. Let me show you. Okay. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then the next verse now says, for the law. Stop there. First of all, what is a law? What is a law? Someone help me quickly. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what is the law? Someone help me out. Alright, let's put it in this simple way, because I know you are thinking that anything you say I will say is wrong. So that's why you're not. And that's not my intention. So because you don't trust me enough to answer, let me answer. Now, a law is something that is almost always constant. That's the simplest way to put it. If I leave this handkerchief, it goes down. 100 times, it goes down. It's almost always constant because that movement is supported by a law. Are you there? Almost always constant. All right. There is a law that is of the Spirit of life. That when we say something is almost always constant, you can depend on it, you can rely on it, because it's not going to change. Is that clear? It's not going to operate in another way. As long as the law is operational, the outcome is predictable. So you can depend on the law. Just like the airplanes depend on the law of lift, and any time you flew from one point to another point, it was at the mercy of the law of lift. And it is so constant that you depended on it, and you knew nothing would happen until you get to point B. Alright? So whether you like it or not, we are living life depending on certain laws. And the reason why they are dependable is because God transmitted some of his authority into those laws, into those principles. If you know the laws and you know the principles and you know how to interact with them adequately, all right, the laws will be the propeller of your own life. Exactly. No matter how powerful you are, if you try to operate against the law, you will never succeed. Because the authority of God is in the law. Do you get that now? Okay. So, having understood this, I need to read another scripture. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20-22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20-22. Okay, let's just do 22. 22 is my verse of interest. This is Noah. The guy showed up, he came out of the ark, and when he survived the flood, he had some talk with God. He said, if you can destroy the world now, you can destroy it again. So what is the guarantee that you are giving us to invest, to build, to sustain, to survive? What is the guarantee? And he made a sacrifice to God. This was the response that God gave. While the earth remained. These are laws. Like I told you, God invested some of his authority in laws to make them faithful. So that if you know how to interact with the laws, know how to align with the potential that the laws carry, the laws themselves will propel you into your expectation. So he says, while the earth remaineth, seed, time, and harvest. That's one variable. Cold and heat. That's another variable. Summer and winter. That's another variable. Day and night shall not, what? Cease. Are you with me? If you check all these variables here, you'll find out that there is only one of them that you can influence. Or someone, a scholar, might draw my attention to the fact that Joshua was able to manipulate day and night. That's an exceptional situation. The Bible even recorded that God has not honored a man's petition like that ever before. So it's a very exceptional case. And that was how Joshua, through the authority that God gave him that day, took a day out of February and then unbalanced the calendar. Hallelujah. But if you are expecting that will happen again, you are out of place. Now, so look at it. You'll find there is only one variable we can manipulate. And that variable is seed time and harvest. I'm just telling you about a law. First, understand. And there are a lot of laws that we can find in Scripture. So in keeping with this little understanding that I'm trying to build, seed time and harvest is a law. If we move into the New Testament, you are going to see that the concept of sowing and reaping is a bit different as rendered in the New Testament, because from New Testament perspective, it's not even so much about the seed, but it's so much about the soil that you are sowing it into. You are either sowing into the spirit or you are sowing into the flesh. And it tells us what will be the result of your consistent investment in the flesh. It tells us what will be the result of your consistent investment in the spirit. Are you with me? So once upon a time, while I was about my duties at the depot, two Muslims walked up to me. They said, "We have seen that you are a straight man, a righteous man. When you say yes, it is yes. When you say no, it is no. And that's why we have come to you." I said, "You are welcome. You can sit down." They said, "We come to you with a proposal, a business proposal, knowing that you are an upright man, you are a righteous man, you will not cheat us, I will not cheat you." I said, "Okay, that's good. This is the amount that we need to prosecute this business." And they brought all the analysis of the business, the oil business, okay? To cost this, to cost that, we'll do this, this. This is the margin that we are going to make. And because I am in government, there is a guarantee that it will come out. You understand that? So when we agreed that this is a good proposal, so my investment will be so and so amount of money. So when we finished the business part, they now said, "But that's not all. We will need to go and locate a ram, and we will take the blood." See, the moment the principle changes, if the principle changes, just know that the outcome is going to change. If you are operating. So if you want to know a man, want to know a situation that you can plunge yourself in or not, what are the principles that govern the arrangement? The moment we have principles that are drawn from darkness, it means that the wisdom driving it is from darkness. Are you there? Okay, for instance, our labors in the gospel, we strive for men to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because Satan will labor to ensure that unbelievers never find Jesus. And just in case you find Jesus, he will now labor to ensure that you never find the Holy Ghost. So you are like sheep without shepherd. So when we labor over the lives of men, we are not laboring over them so that they will depend on us. We are laboring over them so that they will know God and begin to depend on him. Now, when that is the object, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Now, and don't get me wrong, it's not that we don't have anointing. But our purpose, the purpose of our labor, is not to make you depend on my anointing. It's to make you depend on Jesus. So, my efforts are designed to make you know God for yourself. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now, if you find a pastor that is laboring to make you know God so that you can depend on God, to make you know God for yourself, alright? And you find another pastor that is a superstar, he's performing and he wants you to depend upon him, the outcome of the efforts that these two different people are making is not the same. The moment you shift the principles, if there's a different principle that I'm operating with, there will be a different outcome. So don't ever say we are doing the same thing. Don't ever say it. Don't ever. We are not doing the same thing. And that's the reason why some people will never preach on our platform, and we will never preach on their platform. Because when you analyze, we do analysis. Before we begin to pray, we even check the thing first. What is the source of this thing? What is the objective of this labor? Then you see the objective. Are you there? And meanwhile, the guy is the one that is a pastor in that place. Even if you come and do your own that is different from that objective, it will be swallowed up by the efforts of the man that is there. So when you look at it, there will be no gain in that initiative, because everything you are trying to do is swallowed up by a principle that is contrary. So if we want to test things, we judge the laws around it. If you want to test things, we judge the principles that power it. Those principles come from a source. They come from a place. They derive from an ecosystem. A time came in the body of Christ. Are you there?
Yes.
Don't ever say we are doing the same thing. You will know when you see a man that is laboring for people to know the Lord. It's a different, it's a specialized kind of labor. It's a different kind of labor. It's not just normal hireling pastoring. The type they do that is contemporary, that is, okay, modern, this is... May the Lord give you understanding. Meanwhile, when you are laboring to make people know the Lord, it's not a popular thing. And you are not likely to be known in that kind of trade. Because what you are doing is that you are advertising Jesus, making Jesus known, making people friendly with Jesus, making people know how to connect with Jesus. You yourself, there is no guarantee. If you are known, it is incidental. It's not part of the package. There is no arrangement to make you known. But, are you there?
Yes, sir.
But you find someone, the whole idea is that let this man be seen. The result is not the same, because the principles powering the engagement, they are different. The laws that are available in that arrangement has already sold the process out. Are you there? So number what? Sorry. We have seen source, laws and principles. The business proposal that they brought to me was what fantastic, if you analyze it very, very well, you will know that that business will work. But they brought a principle that the only way we can trust ourselves, since I'm a Christian and they are Muslim, is that we need to sacrifice a ram. The blood of the ram is not Christian. The blood of the ram is not Muslim. The oath we are going to take is going to enthrone spiritual forces to govern the process, so that if I have any tendency, meanwhile, the attraction that brought them in the first place was that they confirmed that I'm an upright man. Are you there? Alright. A brother of mine, brother in Christ, he is into estate business, estates. He is a strong estate business person in one of the biggest cities in Nigeria. And so, they now discover that because he has access to companies that have very powerful dredgers. So, they said, all right, we can reclaim some land. And it was approved, mysteriously. So, the chiefs, everybody was interested and all of that. And he went and showed the chiefs and said, I got permission to dredge. Wow! You got it! Okay. Then, 5 a.m. in the morning one day, the Holy Ghost told him, go to that site. So he drove there and parked. Then some strange men were coming out of the water. No, wait, you have not. And they told him that they just went to consult with the siren of the water. I know you don't believe such things. You are a faith preacher. some of us know better. I didn't grow up in Lagos in traffic, so we know another side of the story. The siren of the water sent an instruction to the developer. And what was the instruction? That are you aware of the fact that if you dredge, you are going to reduce the expanse of my kingdom? Are you aware of that? He says not that way. So the way these things are done, that the sirens requested for a sacrifice. Do you know that this guy had put in millions of naira to arrive at that point in the deal? Are you there? The moment they say there's sacrifice, that man abandoned his millions and walked away, because he will not be part of something that is rooted in principles that are ungodly. So that guy that came to change your tire, that you are already falling in love with, what are the principles that you operate with? We have not gone to the gift of discernment of spirit. If you see the principle, you will know his source. You will know where he's operating from. And since he's of his father, the devil, expect all the colors of the activities of the devil to find expression, just in case you tie the knot with him. May the Lord help us. I know some sisters are already having heart attack the way I'm seeing them, and we don't want a clinic to benefit from this presentation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Another way to probe things is to test the kingdom that the person is speaking from, is acting for. What kingdom are you acting for? Are you acting for the kingdom of light? Is this one of the things that we can find in the kingdom of light? Is this the shape of the kingdom of light? What kingdom is being revealed here? What kingdom is being revealed here? Moral lesson is not preaching. You see? Hey. Giving people ideas on how to do business is not preaching. It's not Christian preaching. You can do that in seminars. You can go get employment in the University of Lagos. There's Department of Economics, Business Administration there. All kinds. You can do a lot with that gift. Not pastoring. You don't have any business being behind the pulpit if what you are selling is not God. And the thing about pulpit work is that you must have met God at some point. You must have a growing relationship with Christ in order for you to be his spokesman. But in our day, there are people on the pulpit that are not born again. And it's evident that these ones are not born again. So anything they do with that microphone will be promoting the kingdom of darkness. So what kingdom sets this thing up? What kingdom does she represent? Let me stop there. So these are a few ways. These are a few ways to test things in order for us to hold fast to that which is good. So now let's move to the gift of discernment of spirit. In the gift of discernment of spirit, we are trying to distinguish or to differentiate the spirit that is masquerading either behind persons or situations. Are you there with me? We are distinguishing, we are deciphering the spirit that is at work behind people or behind circumstances and situations. They are demonically driven circumstances. They are angelic interventions in human affairs. Are you still with me? They are demonic activities hidden behind human beings, and you will think that it is the human beings that are responsible for those activities. You will not know that there is a depth to it. There is another side to this activity that is taking place here. So I need to give you the three uses of the gift of discernment of spirit. The three uses of the gift. Okay. Now, as I do this, let us change the temperature and see. The first use or goal of the gift of discernment of spirit is that it gives us an opportunity to see as God sees. It gives us an opportunity to what? To see as God sees. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, God was taking the prophet through 16. God was taking through the prophet through some form of education here. And he tells the prophet, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or the height of his stature, because I have refused him." So if we go by this presentation, it will look like men are not how they look. One day I told my wife, I asked my wife, "Why did you follow me? You need to see how I was when I proposed to her." "I've improved. I'm looking. I'm okay now." "You need to see." "I saw one of my pictures and I spoke tongues." And I asked her, why will a woman want to follow a man like this? What? When the Lord really begins to train you, He begins to tell you not to look on the outward appearance. Not to look on the stature of His height. He said, you are impressed because He is a man of stature. He has biceps. He's fresh from the gym. Say, I have rejected. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For men look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The gift of discernment of spirit is that economy of the grace of God that can give us access to see things from God's vista, from God's perspective. So when you find someone telling another person what is in his heart, that's not the gift or word of knowledge. I will show you some examples. Anytime messengers of the gospel, anytime business people, you want to have a business partner and you see the person is wonderful and all of that, may the Lord make you see the way He sees. I told you about, I don't know if it's this particular congregation, someone that wanted to do business with my pastor. The person will make three statements and say, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, God will forbid it. In Jesus' name. And so when the moment my pastor invested, we have not seen the man till today. For men look. So he stole in Jesus' name. On the outward appearance. Matthew chapter 6, quickly. The gift of discernment of spirits, it exposes what men will want to keep secret. The lockings of the heart, it exposes it. Now, let me show you one scripture quickly before. What scripture did I ask you to? Wait, I'm coming. Give me Psalms 55, verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. It is only the gift of discernment of spirit that will take you beyond what he's saying to moving you into what is in the heart. Human beings are deceptive. And the way they want you to perceive them, that's how they present themselves to you. You will need something beyond face value assessment. He says his words were smoother than butter. And I pity ladies because you like talk, you like yarns, you know? You know? Just yes. What? And she's already making commitment, life commitments, life. She's swearing and saying, may you travel beyond words. He said, but war was in his heart. His words were smoother than oil, yet they were drawn swords. So the gift of discernment of spirit gives us the ability to see the way God sees. Exactly. Right. That's one of the objectives of the gift. Second objective of the gift is that it lifts the veil that covers the unseen realm. Satan is as strong as his deception. The moment the veil that covers your sin realm is lifted, then you see clearly what is going on. Okay, there's a song I'm picking in the spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know that.
Hallelujah.
Wait. If you want to back up for me, let your mouth not be close to the mic. I don't want to hear your voice. I know that you are one.
Hallelujah.
So the gift of discernment of spirit, what God does is that He lifts up the veil that covers the unseen realm and gives you the privilege of seeing the unseen realm. In fact, there are many, many demons that are troubling people's lives that the moment they notice that you can see them, they will even leave. I've seen that. Hallelujah. So Satan is as strong as his deception.
Hallelujah.
let's give this few minutes to the impartation and activation of that very strong gift of discernment of spirit. Okay? Please just listen for a while. Just listen. Because you will operate in the gift of discernment of spirit, not just today, but to be part of your journey. Okay? And what I've come to know is that whenever a strong teaching like this is ongoing, teaching is one of the best mode of impartations and activations, because your soul is calm. And when your soul is calm, your spirit can take the lead of your life. What God wants is for you to live your life from inside, to live it from the dimensions of your spirit. And tonight, you know, when Elijah said to Elisha, "If you see me when I am taken," what he was actually telling Elijah is that you have the capacity to see in the spirit. He wasn't telling him an impossible thing. Now, God will never place a demand on you that is impossible. Alright? Now, what Elijah was trying to do was to call the inner man, to call the spirit of Elisha into the dimension where he ought to operate from. Because all he did before was to place a cloak on him, and he followed him in the flesh. And he said, at the tail end of this process, nothing will happen except you speak in the spirit. And so when he told him, he wasn't trying to be a reluctant master. When he told me, "If you see me where I'm taken," he's only actually telling the man, "I'm bringing you to a dimension that already existed in you that you are not cognizant of." Alright? So, and that's exactly what we are doing here tonight. That so many of you will begin to perceive clearly. One of the things that you first get to is what happened to disciples when Jesus returned, not in the order of the flesh that he was in before. He now returned with a spiritual presence to the disciples. And while he was talking to them, they didn't know it was Jesus. But they made the statement, "Did our heart not burn in us while he was yet talking to us?" That's the initial stage of God awakening your spirit to certain realities. There is going to be strange movements within you. Don't say amen. It's going to happen. Alright, you see, you are a spirit. And when we are talking spiritual things, don't think it is far away. We are just calling you to wake up to what you are and who you are. And when you wake up to it, you are going to find out that it is in line with God's purposes for you to walk in any of these gifts of the Spirit. Alright? So tonight, how many of you want to walk in discernment of Spirit? I'm going to call Apostle back to do the final praying on you. I just want to describe processes to you, because this is my own journey. Okay? Now, discernment of Spirit is a gift of spiritual understanding. Alright? You know why you see a lot of people manifest demons? Because those demons get uncovered. An apostle already said it. Immediately you see a demon, you begin to react. You remember Jesus in Matthew 8, while he was walking through those two mad people possessed of demons, that the Bible says nobody could walk past where they were. And Jesus was walking there. But Jesus was looking at what was manifesting in them. Now, let me tell you this. This is a spiritual principle. The enemy becomes weak when he's uncovered. Did you hear that? The deepest strength of Satan is darkness. And one beautiful expression is darkness is secrecy. The enemy likes to walk unnoticed. Are you still here? So whenever he's uncovered, he becomes weak. That's one of the principles of healing. When God said to Moses, take that serpent that bites the people, lift it up for everybody to see. As soon as everybody can see it, it has become useless. It's become weak. So I cannot come and intervene and give you what? Healing. So, some of you, you are coming into that dimension of dominion. Why? Because you will see the hidden things that the enemy has been keeping, then you render him harmless. So they were the one that rushed to Jesus. Have you come to judge us before our time? They knew they had the latitude of time of operation, but that Jesus was coming with authority. And before children of men called him Son of God, they were the first to call him openly, Thou Son of God. Because in the spirit, there are certain realities that are not hidden, that are obvious. Let me say this last thing before you pray in the spirit. And as you pray in the spirit, after today, some of you will see spirit. So, you know, I'm a politician. There are times where I'm in meetings and I'm seeing people the way they are. And they are frowning. And some of them, I walk up from where I am to go and shake them in the midst of congregation. And before I get there, they are running because they knew I was coming to shake them. Shake hands with them. Because you must see. And that's who you are. It doesn't mean, it will make you the most matured. It doesn't make me big. But that's who you are. And I need you to know that. I was in a meeting, a lady. I was supposed to go through an interview process. And the lady was there, submitted all the CV and did all the harassment tasks. But she was not selected. I was the one that stood the way because she was incompetent. And she had to go. And she accosted me while I was going. I said, I wonder, new pastor, you know, hey, sister, I know me. I said, I'm so sorry. We didn't meet up. And she acted so nice. And she wanted my number. And after the second day, she still pressurized. I said, see, I can help you with something else. But you this role, you can play this role. And that's the truth. And she got offended. Now, listen. And she tried to operate witchcraft that night. That night, I got so tired, I didn't even pray. I was hoping to pray when I wake up. I know you have been there. You like that one. So, while I slept, she just came. As I was sleeping, I was just watching. She was coming. Where is she coming? My room? And she first got on the, there was a dish, this thing for DSTV. She got on that thing because she was coming like an animal. And when she came, I knew she was the one. And she came in the room and she was coming, and I knew she was the one coming. So I said, but she thought I was asleep. So I woke up and I was still sleeping. And she thought I was awake. So she stopped. And I said, you? So I started speaking Yoruba. I said, Bo, bab mori o, go win me. She said, sorry, sir. I said, sorry, I said, I will get the grip of you. You won't leave here. As I wanted to get up, she moved. She moved, I saw her going. So I woke up and stood up. I said, what is this? Oh my God. I looked for my phone and I picked my phone. For me to let her know that I'm that active. I called her around that 1:30 a.m. I kept calling. I called, I said, Lord, wake this girl up to pick this phone. And immediately she picked it up. Hello, sir. I said, Mbolo. Oje Tajirai. Torodo ba lue muti febere. I said, I'm going to call the paramount ruler of our village that she's practicing witchcraft. And that they will bring her to the marketplace. I said, don't worry. You know how connected I am. I'm calling the king. I said, I'm not going to deal with you spiritually. I will give you open disgrace with it. He said, Daddy, Joe Mab, you know, Monday, Umoko, Joe Mara, Lowo.
Said, "Daddy, please do not be annoyed. A child could not know how to eat agidi without getting his hands dirty." I said, "So you know you are eating agidi?" We were on phone. I said, "I will deal with you." He said, "Hey, where can I meet you?" I said, "Okay, I'll tell you where to meet me." By 6:30, she was the first to call me. She kept calling. I had to book an appointment to see her. And I said, "Sit down. Where did you get this witchcraft from?" She now started telling me. But you know, she couldn't hide because I saw her. Are you good? See, when you bring a charm to my house, I will know. Because spirit will come with it. In fact, one of my dogs was so strange. I don't know whether she got it. He got it. If you bring a charm to the house, you won't enter. Jake, of blessed memories. My uncle's driver came with all those charms of protection. He tore the guy's clothes to pieces. And showed us the one at the waist, the one at the arms. If a dog can do that, who are you? Let me give you the scripture. Go and read it at home. But I like to explain to you how these things work. The seven spirits of God described in Isaiah 11, which is the fullness of the Messiah that we are called into. The seven spirit of God that is in Jesus is what will clothe us for us to be fully ready for life. The seven spirit of God. And in that seven spirit of God, in Isaiah 11, you can read from, I love Isaiah 11, so if you allow me to read, I'll take your time. So, because I love, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." And sir, I started studying Jesse. Because God said, "He shall have a rod from his stem." Stem is the upper part. That's the one that after he has emerged. Then he talked about branch out of his root. So who's Jesse? Who's an embodiment of the entire presentation of Christ Jesus? He was before Jesse. And he will come outside Jesse. He is in the root of Jesse. He's also in the stem of Jesse. So there's something about Jesse that made God send Samuel to the house of Jesse. So that got my attention. That Christ has two major presentations in Jesse. It's in his root. That's before he has children at all. Then again, he becomes a person in his stead. That's after he has come. So there's something about Jesse. And that's not my attraction. But the person that is described, which is Messiah himself. And verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." That's the seventh spirit, right? No, don't reduce it to the sermons of spirit. When I give the microphone to the apostle, if you want to walk into prophecy, if you want the power gift, just walk into them. And I'm going to give the microphone back. Just exercise your faith. Faith is the basic need of walking in the spirit. Basic need. And so you won't walk ignorant anymore. Last Sunday, this Sunday, this past Sunday, I got down to buy groceries. And a beggar came to beg me for money. And I was looking at her. And she had a snake comfortably on her neck. So some of these things are real, but you don't see them. So I said, you know the way they do it. So I said, yeah.
She told me, you know, I want Baba Milo ni.
That is for my forefather. So if she's aware, but you are not. You are not. There was another one. I was in my car, and this myself and my son. We wanted to buy stuffs coming from wherever we were coming from. And she came begging, and I just dipped hand to get 200 naira out. And the Lord said to me, immediately you give it to this woman, watch her. So I picked the money, gave it to her, and the Lord said, watch her. She's taking it to altar. I said, altar, where? So I saw her glide slowly behind signage, and I moved at the back to watch. Then she began to make incantations. She was sending it to altars. So I moved close to her. I say, yeah. She was shocked. Hey! I said, yeah. She said, I should take my money. My son said, Daddy, don't take it. Greater is he that is in me. Aya barokasi bali. Next verse, that verse, I want that verse 3. That's verse 3. He said, Anisha. Oh. Do you have a lexicon? Look at this. The seven spirit of God shall make him. The seven spirit of God shall make him. The biggest need of your spiritual work. It shall make him of quick understanding. What do we call it? Quick understanding. Now in lexicon is the word reak, which is from the word ruach. Ruach is spirit. Now, the most prominent thing in spirit is understanding. Are you still here? And the word reak, quick understanding. I see spirits. I see ministering spirits. Giving you a ride, and it's a flight, and it's you are attaining what is beyond time. You are attaining what is beyond reasoning. It is a flight. I bore them on eagle's wings, and I brought them to myself, and I see the Lord bringing the same operation. Where you ought to be is where he is, and that is going to be by flight. And maso berofi kabilon tefari banosia vato pronde kistofalia breno sefore binihando sefo bandes tekudi malav diastofeli rosti febilon tefari brode silako prefis sufeli. Embrace stop from there to sefum rohon the horn drum from Messi. Proper hovelis. Presti venon resto. Presti don tefe robina. Plesto kameno for robina. Hatsi lakos. For I will do a quick one. Airoba sutabaniando suprofelia. Rabo sutrabanabanias. That you may be like our mothers. Oh. even like Rachel, even like Leah, that preserve Israel. I will take you. I'll bring you there. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So I was trying to explain react to you. And if you have your lexicon, this is one of the privileged things the Lord Himself. You know, I told you, Apostle, there was a time the Lord sent a messenger, like that time He shot me. Now He sent a messenger and He will come to me in the dreams. He will teach me. And He will come in the person of Pastor Bakar. And He will teach me scriptures. And when I wake up, I'll remember everything. One of those episodes was when He taught me Reach. And He showed me Reach in the spirit. Reach is another sense that is different from ear, mouth, feeling. It gets installed into a man and it's activated for you to have awareness. Now when you walk, you know that the spirit is not far away. You don't journey. In a split second, you are there. It's just a dimension. So, if they open it up now, you know that spirits are here. And that heaven is here. So, He has put eternity in the heart of man. The heart of man is so vast. You can't call it in terabytes. Somebody said you can only call it in eternabytes. It's eternity in the heart of man that God can come there and have conversation. He said we will come and make a abode in Him. So what kind of a spirit are you? That divinity can come and have a meeting in you. So many of you have allowed yourself to be deceived by thinking you are just a 7 footer, 6 footer, 5'6", and that you have 95 kg, and that's who you are, and that you are a presentation before the mirror. It's better off we live like my grandmother said before, when they brought mirror to their village, like cause commotion. So there was a time there was no mirror. Now we have television. I wish you were there. Those primitive days where you won't even know the way you look except somebody tells you. Because without a mirror, how would you have known? Maybe it's Okwere that would have been telling me, Oga, when will you shave? Because I won't know how. Come on. Now, Reach is a reality of your spirit. When He said, He shall make him of quick understanding, if you have the lexicon, it will show you Reach. And they will now be using different English words to describe it. One of it will be smell. That's quick understanding, the fear of the Lord. If you look, oh please quickly help me check it so that you will not. You see, this word, quick understanding, the fear of the Lord, English could not capture that experience. Please, if you have a lexicon, help me check. Huh? Okay, react can mean to smell, sense, perceive odor, accept. Do you understand this? So these are strange experiences. Alright? That understanding is a reality as smell. As real, react is a reality. You see, understanding the fear of the Lord, it's a reality in the spirit. It can be as real as smell, as perceiving, as knowing. When you are in this quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, which will now become an alternative to judging with the sight of the eyes or reprove with the hearing of the ears. That when they are talking to you, you are carried away. You are not hearing what they are saying, you are hearing something else. Because you are operating the react. It is the sound of spirit. Are you still here? That somebody is talking to me in counseling like this sometimes. I'm not hearing what she's saying again. Am I hearing another conversation? I'm perceiving another thing. I'm smelling another thing. And I just allow you to learn because I know where I'm going. I'm not listening to you again. Because as soon as you entered, I began to perceive. Then immediately you say everything you have said. I say, where is your daddy? Then you wear the reality. What does my dad have to do with all this arrangement? And I say, okay, where is your daddy? Okay? And as soon as if you are coming with a demon, as soon as the demon sees that we have eye contact, it begins to shake you, to distract. But we will say no, that your days of influence are over, which will also happen as Apostle is praying for you. But one thing that will happen is the react will be activated. To be activated. You will know that it's not extraordinary people that sees in the spirit. They are real as you. They are just very real like you are. Okay? It is not extraordinary people, the passive. Some of you, your alert sign will be odor. Sir, the first time I experienced divine healing, one odor filled my room. Because I was jumping out of bed of sickness. And the odor filled my room. It looked like the odor of the scent of a particular perfume. And sir, any time I have it evade my space, I know healing is taking place. I was in Lekki someday, and I was leading a prayer meeting, and the odor came. I said, God, who is getting healed? Somebody is getting, it won't be tomorrow. It will be healing or working of miracles, but it will have to be about a sick person. And I said, who is getting it? And the Lord said, there's an old man getting rotten in cancer. So I said, God, I said, can we stop and pray a bit for a woman getting rotten in cancer? Then we stopped, we began to pray in the spirit. As we were praying, the Lord said, the person whose mother is getting rotten is here. That's the one. I said, an old man. Is your mom sick? He said, my mom is in the hospital with cancer. I said, you are the one. When we prayed, we were gone. I'd long forgotten. 2 weeks to that, after that, I was driving into my house in Magodo. Then the pastor was calling me. I said, I have never seen this kind of thing before. Do you know that mama is sitting in Amala now as I'm talking to you? Everybody is amazed. Third stage cancer cleanse. Because some of you will not perceive your alert signs. God will give you your alert signs. Just like the way you know when money just enter your account. You have your alert signs. You have awakenings. Yes, you are. The spirit is real. Can you speak in the spirit for a while? Can you do it for a while? Mane sopa verotila, Brasila botande, Eva te suto verbo radical. Maradoshila bakanda. Amen and amen. You see, there is a manipulation. I just saw in the spirit. I saw in the spirit, like, I'm seeing, they call it Siamese twin. Twins that are joined together. In reality, some of them were born. They'll be using the same two legs. They'll be using the same, they will have two heads. Have you seen that kind of twin before? And I'm seeing that in the spirit, and the Lord says to me that there's somebody here who is an unholy marriage in the spirit. It's so joined like Siamese. And the Lord says, power is going to sever it. Because it's a yoke that's taking your destiny away. You struggle with it. And you couldn't get out of it. But the Lord said, that marriage is over tonight. And the power of the spirit will hit you and it will be severed. It will be severed. They will no longer share the same nutrient with you. Ah, yes, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus. So speak in the spirit for as many of you who want today to be a day of activations for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, my. Perceiving accurately. Not just with not just judging with the sight of the eyes or the hearing of the ears. Royally Castile Botana Master, Velikosika Father, the power of sin, the Bohotinase, Ola Bashata Banase, Lakasila Botana Sarabana. To see you highly shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power, Lord, as we sing holy, holy, holy. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. Lord, let there be activations of grace and supplies. Grace and supplies. Maya Rosekabalata. Ananana Satoba. Some of you, it will come in visions. Some of you, it will activate spiritual senses. Oh, some of you will come with different alert signs. Your knowings will come with different alert signs. Mano sika belo rabanya kas. Kaba roba sheta banya se. Ebala robe kusibeta na mano. Ela bakata bana kada bana mashira bata. Rekosila bata na mashira radia. Kopala basedia. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So just get ready. The anointing will rest. I'm just going to call on the apostle. That rank in the spirit can open up the oil. And the anointing will rest. Everyone. Except you are not born again. Do you believe everyone? That's the privilege you have in Christ Jesus. Imagine the whole of us can go into Lagos and we are not judging according to the sight of our eyes or according to hearing of our ears. But we are operating another dimension that is called Reach. We smell differently. We pick things differently. And that's where we will be. Get ready. Now listen.
While we prayed just now, I beheld in the spirit and I saw a black robe, and it was zeroing on black robe, zeroing on a certain sister in this congregation. And I was wondering, because I started asking God, what is this about? The person I'm speaking of, you are in a contention with someone. and your particulars have been submitted to a certain demonic personality to bring injury to you, to bring injury to you, to bring injury to you. And Lord, the Lord wants to intercept that attack. He wants to intercept that attack. He wants to intercept that attack. Oh my God. In a moment of time, I want to pray. And the Lord will arrest that individual that is implicated by what I'm saying. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask, Lord, that you stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Identify this individual, this one that is in the midst of this contention. Stretch forth your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. And let your hand, the weight of your glory, begin to envelop that individual. Let the weight of your glory begin to envelop her. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come and I see Kobresko Falama. Jaima Abresko Belaikosi. I see a demon like a monkey. I see a demon like a monkey. And the Lord calls this demon a thief. A thief. There is somebody in this congregation. They have been stealing from you. They have been stealing from you using spiritual means. They are stealing from you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. The hand of the Lord will come upon that individual. They've been stealing for you, stealing, taking things. But tonight is your night of restoration. It's a night of restoration. Oh my God. The hand of God will envelop you so that we can prophesy on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you help us identify this individual that has been a victim of spiritual theft? Victim of theft. Victim of theft in the spirit. The hand of God will come upon you in the next few seconds. In the next few seconds. Yes. In the next few seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that is a victim of death, I ask that your hand might identify so that we can reverse it. Alright, he'll be coming to you. There's a weight of oil. There's a weight of oil already accumulated. And it's going to get stronger. 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 Holy Ghost! We end that test in the name of Jesus. Yeah. It will get stronger. Because, oh my God, someone here, you are a victim of exchange. What is yours? I've been diverted. But in a moment of time, oh my God, 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 oh my God. In a moment of time, the hand of God is going to intercept that diversion. The hand of the Spirit will intercept it. Yasobo Korea Babasiko Bresko Vilande. Menso Kila Bahara Kuse. Raitam Beli Siko Besko Bakamu Korea. That one here, that is a person that the prophet was talking about, that is suffering from the ailment of an illegal union in the spirit. Illegal union. A spiritual entity feels bound to you. Feels bound to you. Comes with the right to have access to you, to have access to your life. and that illegal union has been the reason for your story. Even tonight, we cut off that union. Now, the hand of God will descend. It will descend mightily upon that individual because we need to cast the spirit out. Father, anywhere that individual is bound, tied, connected to a foul spirit that has access to the body, has access to the destiny of the individual, has access to the future of that individual, tonight, we ask for God, stretch forth your hand in this place and even online. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Let this darkness be arrested. Let this darkness be arrested. Let this darkness be arrested. Now listen to me. Just stop praying. This is a serious matter. Father, help us identify this individual that is a victim of an illegal union in the spirit. Stretch forth your hand over this congregation and let your hand rest on that individual. Oh my God, it's not just one person. Let your hand rest. Come to us, Lord, and let your hand rest. Okay, so he's passing through now. He's passing through. And his hand will be stronger. Will be stronger. Will be stronger upon you. Will be stronger upon you. Will be stronger upon you. Lord, from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, anywhere those individuals are, let your hand become heavy on them. Let your hand become heavy on them. Let your hand become heavy on them. Let your hand be heavy. Let it be heavy. Let there be a concentration of your presence, a concentration of your power. Ushers, if you find them, bring. We need to cast out that spirit. Woo! Let there be a concentration of your presence over the person's life. And let darkness be challenged right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you find them, bring them. You are my God. Isaikopeli mahabelando rokosi. Sakakuri amandi lehe sokamalai. We dissolve that illegal union in the spirit. We dissolve that illegal union in the spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Dreams of molestations, dreams of interceptions of things that were programmed for your good today, and we care not to know if it's a liability that was inherited. Father, in the name of Jesus, we intercept this. This is an illegality. We refuse it. And we command you, get out, get out, get out, get out, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Okay, can you help me do something quickly? Now, this is a quarrel. Huh? You help me trace where her umbilical cord is and put your hand on it. Can you? Trace. No, I'm just using you as an example. No, it's not. I'm using you as an example. They may not know. You see, now the reason why I'm saying if you trace it is because the transaction we are talking about has something to do with the umbilical cord, okay? Alright, have you found it? Lord, in the... Sorry, the navel. Navel. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we destroy this connection. Will destroy this connection. Will release your daughter from the stranglehold of this liability. In the name of Jesus Christ, we break the yoke. In the name of Jesus Christ, We demand that the things that have been stolen from you be restored this moment in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, people have been anointed. No, don't believe me, no. Now, where is that lady? I need to... Just raise her a little if you can. I need to speak. I need to speak. So, I wade into the war. I wade into the battle. I command that attempt to bring injury to you to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
I release you from the stranglehold. I release you in the name of Jesus. Now let grace flow. Okay. So, this happens to me a lot. I begin to feel as if oil is dropping on my head. And whenever that happens, it means God is anointing people. So there's an anointing that has started. In the next 12 seconds, it will be intense on two people. There's an anointing that has started. It will be intense on two people in 12 seconds. And then it will begin to flow. When you notice that sign of the oil coming on two people, then exercise your faith to receive. Father, in the name of Jesus, let the anointing begin. Let the anointing begin. Let the anointing begin. Let it begin. Let it begin to flow. And let your sons and your daughters begin to receive the oil. The oil that will make them perceive. The oil that will make them discern. The oil that will make them see. Let the anointing begin to flow in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing begin to flow. I see something like a lamp in the spirit. I see something like a lamp in the spirit. There is a guiding light that the Lord is releasing. There is a guiding light that the Lord is releasing. He's releasing it in the spirit. He's releasing it in the spirit. Now there's an intensity of the release. There's an intensity of the release. There's an intensity. It's becoming strong. 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 There is an intensity. There is an intensity. It's becoming strong. You can. Oh my God. Sakoria mama si kompreske do boroka. You can actually step in right now. You can step in. I see the Lord holding your hand and He's taking you. So you are stepping in. You are stepping in. You are stepping in. You are stepping in. Ilabro seko taminai takambelai. Les kompalakuse examina kabrisko belaito. Iko borosika brante kuskaba. Brande si kompamala. Rakatala sumbres, avaito kami, asaminaito, eskompre, yakabo samate, yakabo senzele, ikabramina kaintelia, akambo santo, ikaseke kapolo, ilabraske domina kayete katalia. Thank you, Lord. Now listen. Listen to me. The Lord wants to heal someone. He wants to heal someone of pile. Pile. That's what I heard. Pile. So if you are suffering from pile, please don't be ashamed, though. If you are suffering from pile, come. The Lord will put an end to pile. He'll put an end to pile. Yeah.
You are my God. You are my God.
Yeah. So, I said, I saw Jesus. All right? And he held your hand. And he said, it is time. So, this is the time. Yeah, for the unfolding of your life. This is the time for the unfolding of your destiny. And if I have spoken by the Lord, you will see. Now, so the Lord says he wants to heal fire. So what I will do is I'll just touch you like this. Alright? Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I have touched them. Now I await you to touch them and let fire be burnt off. I have touched them. I await you now to touch them. Now the sign that God, the healing has started, is that the anointing will come on one of you. The anointing of the Lord will descend on one of you, and that will be the sign that the healing has started. Father, show me that sign that you have stepped in to begin the healing. The anointing will descend on one of you, and it will descend so much. And that will be the sign of God's healing. It will be the sign of God's healing. Lord, show me the sign. Show me the sign. Show me the sign. Show me the sign. Let the oil of anointing descend on one of these individuals standing here. One of these individuals standing here. Show me a sign. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing will catch up with one of you. One of you. And it will build. Oh, my God. 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 So, Lord, I rebuke pile. I command pile to go. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Fire, give way, give way, give way, give way. Yeah, it's coming stronger. It's the oil of God. It's coming stronger. Holy Spirit, take over. Let every trace of fire be dried up, be dried up, be dried up in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. 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 We put an end to it. We put an end to it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. In a few days' time, you will see fire no more.
Amen.
Go. So before I leave, oh my God, just connect with me by raising your hand. Just one, your right hand.
You are my God. You are my God.
You are my God.
You are my God.
You are my God.
You are my God.
Dragging someone out of a grave, and I saw two angels dragging someone out of the grave. That one that is in this congregation, that the spirit of death is haunting, the schedule for death to come and take from your family has arrived again. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, we disappoint that schedule this time. We disappoint that schedule this time in the name of Jesus. We disappoint that schedule this time in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We exalt your name. We give you praise. We give you praise.
Woo!
You know, he said to me, I make all things new. That's what he said. So remember not the former things. Don't be restrained by the former things. I make all things new. We step into new things. We step into the new season. Right. The Lord speaks again. He says, before the end of this year, that He will do an impossible thing. Listen. Something that we know is impossible. He will do such a thing in our midst before the end of this year. He said that. We step into the grace of the new season. In the name of Jesus. I'm not understanding this vision. Can we speak in tongues for 2 minutes, please? Oh, Jesus.
Jaminai papos que te plebosu que bababusa, abamre kabusa mina kabre kadua, matriko santoria, risko kokorondo bokoria basila bando. Thank you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. So we disappoint that debt. We disappoint.
I still cannot interpret what I saw. So let me just close. Lord, thank you for this moment. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your spirit that is amongst us. Thank you for the new season that you have proclaimed over us. We step into it in the name of Jesus.